ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधी साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। So, Hari Om everybody, and welcome back after a long break of 2 months. Hope everybody had a good summer. It was really hot. And everybody got a chance to travel and socialize and whatever. So today we start another beautiful chapter. And like I said in yesterday's class, every chapter has its own beauty. And chapter 17, very, very simple chapter to understand. Just like 16, it is at the transactional level, at the empirical level. There is nothing transcendental about it. It is also showing a means to the Supreme Self. But it pertains to our day-to-day life. So you will be able to relate. I could really, really relate to all the verses. And I'm sure you are going to be able to do that as well. Now, the chapter begins with a question by Arjuna, and the question is triggered by the last two verses in chapter 16. Now, my copy has got 16 and 17 both. I don't know if you guys have this copy because they, you know, changed this thing. So if you have this copy, no need to run and get the 16 chapter or anything, but if you have this copy, if you look at 23 and 24, the last two verses, which were very beautifully explained by Prem Sai before we closed, he talks about two types of people, two categories of people. Oh, Prem Sai is back. Hey, welcome back. I thought you were away today as well.
How are you?
Okay, how are you? So he talks about two types of people. In 23, he says that those who do not have faith in the scriptures, they attain neither material prosperity nor spiritual emancipation. Here, one thing to be, which is very important, is those who do not have faith in the scriptures, to have faith in anything, I have to know that thing first. So when we say they do not have faith in the scriptures, it presupposes, it already indicates they know the scriptures, but they don't have faith. It's not like, see, they don't. If I don't know something, how can I say that I don't have faith in this, but I have never even studied that. I've never even read that book or anything. I cannot say. Or if I've not met anybody at all, person, I say, oh, I don't have faith in that person. But have you even met that person? Do you know that person? No, I don't know. I have no faith in him or her. So when it's just said, Bhagwan says that they do not have faith in the scriptures, so therefore they don't follow. They don't follow what has been given in the scriptures. They cannot attain material prosperity or spiritual emancipation. One more aspect to this, this thing, not having faith, is maybe they don't care. So what? If the scriptures are saying, so what? I don't care. I don't want to do this. That is also there. One is faith. One is this. Because I was thinking about it. Like, you know, if we see that in our normal life, the doctor tells us one thing and we're like, I don't care. He's telling us, don't control your weight, blood pressure, control your sugar. I'm like, I don't care. I like sugar. So I'm going to eat jam every day. I don't care if I have diabetes. So it's not that, you know, not that I don't have faith in that, but I just don't care. So I'll do whatever I want. So what? You can say whatever you have to say. So that is also there. One is not having faith, but to not have faith, we have to know the scriptures. Therefore, then Bhagavan concludes in the last verse saying, Tasmat Shastram Pramanam Te Karya Karya Akarya Vivasthita. Means, therefore, he says, because if you do not have faith in the scriptures and you do not follow the scriptures, you cannot get material prosperity and spiritual emancipation. Therefore, you must know the scriptures and you must have faith in them. And if you have faith, then you will go by the do's and don'ts that are given in the scriptures. And that way, you will attain both material. If you want material prosperity, you will get that also. Because the Shastra gives us disciplines, which those disciplines can give us material prosperity. They can also give us spiritual emancipation. So these are these two types of people that Bhagavan talked about. Now, Arjun brings a third type of person, a third type of people. He brings them in. So it begins, Atha Saptadasho Dhyayaha Arjuna Vacha Ye Shastra Vidhim Rutsrujya Yajante Shraddhayanvitaha Tesham Nishthatuka Krishna Satvamaho Rajastama. Arjun said, those who, setting aside the ordinances of the scriptures, perform sacrifice with faith. What is their condition, O Krishna? Is it sattva, rajas, or tamas? Now, this type of people, the type of people that Arjun is talking about is, they don't know the scriptures. This is the third type. Both those cases, they knew the scriptures. One had faith, one did not have faith. One was following with faith, one was not following with faith, or not following because they didn't care, whatever it was. Here, what he's saying is, they have not read the scriptures, but they have faith. They have faith. They don't know what the scriptures. Now, how can a person have faith without having read the scriptures? Is the way by following what the elders have done in the family, what traditionally has been done. I was in my own life, I had not read the scriptures or Bhagavad Gita until I came into the mission. So in my childhood, two things my mother did, whether she also had not read the scriptures, but every morning she lit a lamp at the altar and she fasted on Mondays. And the reason was Lord Shiva is our family deity. So Monday is his day. So we fast on that day. These two things I picked up just because my mom was doing it. I had not read the script. I didn't know what the significance of fasting was. What is the significance of lighting a lamp in the morning at the altar? My mom used to do it both times, morning and evening. And when I grew up, she said, okay, the evening is now your responsibility. So when you come back from college or office or whatever, you have to do that. Morning, I will do. And mom did it. So I did it too. So I also fast on Mondays because Shiva was our family. And it so turned out that my husband's family also, Lord Shiva is the deity. So, okay, it worked well until I came into the mission. And when I came to the mission, I started understanding why all this was being done. And so I started with faith, and it was blind faith, no knowledge, just blind faith, no scriptures, no Bhagavad Gita, nothing. And I'm sure most of you can relate to this, that this is what my grandmother did. This is what my parents did. So I'm doing it. And this is the type of people that Arjun is talking about here. They have not read the scriptures, but they have extreme faith. They say, if my mother or my father, my parents are doing it, hey, I'm going to do it. It doesn't matter what the reason is, what their reason was, whether they know the reason or not, what they did it now, I will do it too. And therefore, now what is now important here in this chapter is the Shraddha, is the faith. So the shift in attention is from knowing knowledge of the scriptures to faith in the scriptures. No knowledge, faith, only faith, out of faith. So therefore, he says, yajante shraddhayan vitaha, yajante, they do all their practices. Maybe they're doing the rituals, maybe they're doing fasting, maybe they are doing japa, whatever, lighting a lamp every morning at the altar. You know, some people, they will not cook before taking shower. They will not eat before they've lit a lamp at the altar, saying prayers, so many things, you know, so many things. Don't know the reason behind it, but was being done in my family, I'm going to continue with that practice. So there he says, Tesham Nishtha Ka Tu Krishna. What is their, where does their faith stand? Where is Nishtha Sthadhatu, coming from Sthadhatu, to be steadfast? So this faith, what is it? Is it Sattvic faith? Because if you call it Sattvic faith, there is no knowledge. Sattva is related to knowledge. There is, they have no knowledge of the scriptures. Okay, is it Rajasic? But Rajasic is more driven by egocentric desires. This is not egocentric desire either. It is like, oh, my mom did it, so I'm doing it. Not that necessarily that person is doing it for some sort of this thing. And tamas, is it tamas then? Because they have no knowledge at all. What? Where does this faith stand? This is the question. Therefore, this chapter will talk about Shraddha, faith. And we'll talk more about it as well in the next verse. This is a very peculiar chapter in where Bhagwan gives a statement and he only explains in the next. This is like sort of style of Swami Vidyarani. You know, he will say a statement, next verse, he will only explain the previous verse. So really, there's not too much explanation for me to do. We're going to go really fast in this chapter. It should be done in like 2-3 sessions. So this is the question, okay? Two types of people were mentioned in chapter 16. Both have read the scriptures. One has faith, one does not have faith. The one who is faith gets both material and spiritual emancipation. The one who does not have faith doesn't get either one. He doesn't even succeed in the material world. And that's it. But there is a third kind of person who has faith but no knowledge. So the attention is now on Shraddha, on faith. The importance is to faith. Therefore, this is known as Shraddha Traya Vibhaga. So Shraddha also, faith also, now Bhagwan is going to define in detail, because he could have given a straightforward answer actually. You know what it is, but it, being Banke Lal, Banke, you know, Tera, he's crooked. Bhagwan Shri Krishna is always never standing straight. He's always crooked. So he has to, you know, not give a straightforward answer. But now he said, oh, this is my chance. Now let me just explain what this Shraddha is all about. That is what he's going to do. Now he's going to explain faith in great detail, and we will see what he has to say. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Trividha Bhavati Shraddha Dehi Nam Sa Swabhavaja Sattviki Rajasi Chaiva Tamasi Cheti Tam Shrunu. The Blessed Lord said, threefold is the faith of the embodied, which is inherent in their nature. The Sattvic, pure, the Rajasic, passionate, and the Tamasic, dark. Thus thou hear of it. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, yesterday I was telling you, the possessor of the sixfold qualities, which are Aishwarya, Yasha, Shri. That's the one that I had forgotten yesterday. Shri, Dharma, Vairagya, and Jnana. These are the sixfold qualities. Aishwarya, lordship. Yasha, success, fame. Shri, prosperity. Dharma, righteousness. Vairagya, dispassion, and jnana, knowledge. These six qualities he has 100% of the time, all at all times, in all places, and all the time. Okay, so because of that, his words become infallible. They can never be changed. They were true that time in Arjuna's time. They're true today, and they will remain true for eternity. As long as this world continues, Bhagwan's words will remain true. So that's why it is Bhagavan and it is not Shri Krishna Vacha or Govind Vacha or anybody like that. So that is the significance of Bhagavan. The other meaning of Bhagavan is one who knows the past, present and future of all the jivas. There's another meaning of Bhagavan, okay? And that's why we see Bhagavan saying, there have been many, many births. I know them all. You don't know. That is the reason. That's why it's Bhagavan again. Okay. So let's see. Trividha Bhavati Shraddha. So Shraddha is has three aspects. Trividha or is of three kinds, three types. Dehinam Jiva. The one who, because body is inert. Body doesn't have Shraddha. Who has Shraddha is the Jiva inside. So Dehinam, the one who is inside the Deha, inside the body, that is Jiva. Sa Swabhavaja. Here the two words that we have to understand in detail is Shraddha and Swabhavaja. So what he's saying is, and Satviki, Rajasi and Tamasik. So what are the three kinds? Satvik, Rajasik and Tamasik. We have studied chapter 14. So Sattva, we know, pure, purity or knowledge, quietude of mind, represented by the color white, that is Sattva. Rajas is dynamism, action, and represented by the color red. And tamas is represented by color black. It's inertia, laziness, tardiness, all those things. That is what sattva, rajas, and tamas. These are the three gunas that we have studied in chapter 14 in detail. Now he's saying that Shraddha falls also under these categories. One thing that you have to remember, if you remember Gurudev's chart, there is Om, and then there is the V, and then there is the BMI. So V and anything under, all things underneath it are sattva, rajas and tamas. Only the Om is beyond sattva, rajas, tamas. Okay. So Shraddha also falls in the realm of the subtle body. Faith falls in the realm of the subtle body. One point, Shraddha. Okay. First of all, the break of that word is Shrat. Shrat plus Dha becomes Shraddha. Shrat, Vedic word, is actually what it is, a Sat. Sat. And this Sat is the pure self. So Sat plus Dha or Shrat plus Dha means Shraddha is that which leads you to the pure self. That is what Shraddha is. Therefore, we see, like in when we have seen the fourfold qualification for a student, for a fit student, Adhikari, there is Vivek, Vairagya, Shat Sampati, and then Mumukshutvam. Now, in that Shat Sampati, there is Shama, Dama, Shraddha, Titiksha, Samadhana. But in all those, it is only Shraddha which is said can take you to the liberation, to moksha. Shama, Dama, Samadhan, it's never said that. Shraddha alone can take you. Example of this Shraddha taking you to moksha is Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. What he had was, he had Shraddha in his guru who told him, Soham, you are that. He didn't know. He had never read the scriptures or anything. Okay. He had not read. So faith. So Shraddha. And those of you who are watching Swami Tejomayananji Subodh Vedanta. Anybody watching here? Subodh Vedanta? Nobody? Okay. Oh, you are, Madhuri. Very good. Very good. So it's always works like that my guru will come and explain, and I got my little notes. I thought, oh, I'm doing chapter 17. He's talking on Shraddha. I better write all this down. So what he talked a few things about Shraddha. First thing what he said was that the intellect has two aspects. See, we have body and we have mind and we have the intellect. So the intellect has two aspects. One is viveka, discrimination, and one is faith. And right there, I was also thinking that, we have always said that faith is at the level of the mind. So why is it that he says that faith is at the level of an aspect of the intellect? What it is faith is, it is at the level of the mind. But when you see, there is also belief. There is a word called belief. There is a word called trust. And then there is faith. In the three, this faith word, when it is used, Shraddha, which is even loose translation is faith. This faith word is very strong. when you say that I have faith, faith is something which can never crack. Belief can go away. Belief is the lowest. Belief, you believe in something and then you say, oh, no, no, no. And belief can go away. So belief is very, like, not firm. Trust also can be broken. You trust somebody, you trust something, and then that trust gets broken. But when you say that, when you say the, use the word faith, it is conviction. Faith can never break. Faith is, you know, even in the case of Shabari, she had faith in a guru. For years, she waited for Sri Ram. If it was only belief or, oh, I trust my guru, he said it, it could have broken. And after many, many years of waiting, waiting, waiting every single day, she was a young girl when this was told to her. He came when she was an old lady. So for many years, she waited. If it was either belief or trust, she wouldn't have lasted. But it was faith. So what happens is faith, when there is a conviction, that conviction is from the intellect. So therefore, when the word faith is used, that's why Guruji said that faith is an aspect of the intellect. If it is a conviction, see, we just say we have faith and all that. But our faith is only a belief or a trust, which can break. So that's why. So he said that these are the two. Now, Vivek is discrimination and faith is a belief, a trust in something. What we need to do is in some things, we have to have faith. We need faith, and faith is the only thing that can take us forward. But in some other things, we must use our discriminative intellect. We must analyze. So the intellect analyzes and has faith. Example, perfect example, which I have always, this thing, two examples I have from the day-to-day world. One is medication, because I'm taking medication, right? Honestly speaking, does any one of us know exactly what is inside that pill? Or what is inside that antibiotic or capsule? Is it not faith in the doctor? The doctor said, this is your prescription. Go get. Now we have faith in the doctor. He wrote. Then we go to we have faith in the pharmacy that he gave me the correct one. Then we have faith in the company who has put that medication together. Really, do we know? Do we have knowledge? See, whole life is going on faith only. Nothing. You go to bed, you have faith that you will wake up in the morning. That's why you go to bed. Otherwise, you would never go to bed. When you open the computer, you have faith that that link is going to take you to that Zoom session. Faith is there. The other thing, so that part you have to accept. You can't go on analyzing every day. Is this exactly what this medication and this is supposed to? So you just take it and then you feel better. And then you say, oh, okay, this was the correct medication. Otherwise, like in blood pressure. Okay, no, that's not right for you. Now let's try something else. So it is on the basis of faith. The second thing about this faith is, honestly, does any one of us really know that this lady is our mother? Do you know that, or is it faith? Do you remember that, oh, I came out of this woman's belly? Or that woman told you, I'm your mother and this is your father? Faith. You have to have faith there. There cannot be analysis. Of course, now there is DNA testing and all that, but leave that aside. When we say, okay, this is mother, this is father, okay, fine. Then the mother says, this is my mother. Okay, fine. This is your mother. Do we know that? Really? There is no. Whole life is going on faith. It has to. Faith has, in the beginning, it is blind faith. And we have to have that blind faith. Because unless we have that blind faith, am I going to go further in that? I have faith that I'm getting on the plane that, okay, this plane is not going to crash. And yes, this is going to take me to Calgary or Toronto or wherever that destination I have. Faith is there. Okay. So this is, so there are certain things that we have to accept. So we have to accept the scriptures, have faith that the scriptures are saying there is a God. That faith we must have. Now, in God, we must now analyze that God as given in the scriptures. There, this Viveka has to come into practice. This chapter is not talking about Viveka. I'm just bringing this in because, you know, it connected very well. Just 2 days ago, he did this lecture. Beautiful, beautiful, right? So we have to have faith that who is going to take me to God is the scriptures, are the scriptures. And then if I don't even have faith, that's why in chapter 16, he said, I know the scriptures, but yeah, scriptures say there is a God, but I don't have faith. There is no God. Then I'm not going to inquire further. So faith is very, very essential. Okay. Now, this faith, therefore, there is five kinds of faith that we must have. Shraddha, because now Shraddha is talking about. So first of all, you have to have faith that there is a God. If you don't have faith that there is a God, you may not know who he is, what he is, what his nature is. That's okay. That's okay. Therefore, spiritual studies actually begins with blind faith. It's blind faith. Mom is lighting a lamp saying this is God, and now you light a lamp and okay, there is a God. I don't know who it is. Then as I go deeper into my studies, then I come to know that scriptures are the one. Vedanta is the only means of knowing God. So I have to have faith in that Vedanta, in the scriptures. Okay. If I have faith in the scriptures, then I say, I do have faith, but you know what? I don't understand this language, this Sanskrit, I can't understand. So you have to go to a guru. Then you have to have faith in the guru who is telling you about the scriptures. Because every time the guru says something, who knows? Who knows? You can't do that. You have to have faith. You know, same with the doctor. If he's telling you something, you have to have faith that yes, he's saying if I don't control my weight, then my blood pressure is going to go up. You have to have faith in that. So you have to have faith in the scriptures. Then first in God, then scriptures because they're telling us about God. Then in Guru because he's telling us about the scriptures. Then we have to have faith in the means. In the means that the guru is telling us or from the scriptures. So in this case, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. In the case of Shabari, it was wait. He just said, you don't leave the ashram. You just wait here. Sri Ram is going to walk in here. You don't go anywhere. You don't have to go anywhere. He has to come. He will come. So that was the means for her to attain Sri Ram. And she waited. She had faith in that. What if she would have said, how he will come? How he will know I'm here? How he will know this ashram? What? All these doubts, if she would have had, she would have probably left and gone somewhere else. But he did come. Sita got kidnapped. He came there to Pampa Sarovar. He came. And that is the faith in the guru's words. Or with Sri Nisargadatt Maharaj, the faith was, I am that. That was direct liberation. Faith. Complete strong faith. So that's why it's conviction. Therefore, it is at the level of the Tripti. Do you have a question? Can you hold on to it? You have a question? You raise your hand, or was that an error? Tripti, you've raised your hand. I think you clicked on the hand. No. Okay.
I'm okay. I'm fine.
Okay, there is a hand there. You can maybe remove.
Yeah,
it.
But it is not going away. And I'll just stop my video also. So I'm just going to listen to you now. Traveling.
All right, no problem. Okay. So first in God, then in the scriptures who are telling us about God, then in Guru who is telling us, explaining the scriptures to us, then the means that the Guru is telling us. Because if I think, I don't know. And then finally in my own self that I can do the means, because the means are also not easy. So when the guru is telling us, okay, you need karma yoga, you need to wait for Sri Ram to come, or you need to meditate on soham, whatever that he tells us. Same thing with the doctor. If the doctor is telling you this is what is good for you, that same advice may not work for somebody else. So whatever the guru is telling us in my own selves, in the self, I have to have faith that come what may, I will do it. I can do it. That is the significance of all those fasts and everything. Like, oh, can I do this? Can I do this? Do it once. Then you'll get the confidence. Yes, I can do it. So these are the five kinds of faith that are very, very important in our life. In for spiritual emancipation. For material, again, you also need faith there also. If they're telling you that, okay, if you want to pass this, then maybe you should be doing this or that or whatever faith is required. Now, okay, all right, about Shraddha. Dehinam sa swabhavaja. This word is also important. Swabhava jayate, birth, born. So it is born of swabhava. Swabhava and ja it is. So ja born out of swabhava. So myself. Swabhava, nature. My nature, where is it coming from? It is coming from birth onwards. So if it is coming from birth, that means it depends on something that I have done in my past lives. So the type of Shraddha that each one of us has, whatever it might be, we'll explain what this Sattva Rajas Tamas is, it is born with us. And we have to have the faith that this cycle of birth and death is going on. Otherwise, this Swabhavaja word will not make sense. If I say, that means there is something in my past. And also Bhagavad Gita, now up to 17, we have studied many times where Bhagavan says, many, many births have happened for both me and you. So many of our births also have happened. And in those births, we have done things which has now given us birth in the present, you know, present life with that type of Shraddha. With either a sattvic Shraddha or a rajasic Shraddha or a tamasic Shraddha. Broadly speaking, so when we say sattvic Shraddha means the mind is sattvic. So the Shraddha is in the mind, which is sattvic. Mind, intellect, stuff you can say, subtle body. Mind is rajasic, so Shraddha also becomes rajasic. And mind is tamasic, so Shraddha also becomes tamasic. Sattvic Shraddha, people who have sattvic Shraddha will normally pray to the gods. So they will actually pray to Krishna, Rama, Matarani, whatever, Guruvayur, Shiva, Vishnu, whatever them. Rajasic people will pray to the deities. Who is the deities? Indra, Varuna. We have seen the story in Bhagavad Puran where Bhagavan Shri Krishna's parents were doing yajna to Indra. And they said, oh my God, if you don't do this yajna, he won't give us rain. That is rajas. That is coming out of rajas. So you're not praying to the gods directly, which are the highest, who are the highest, to the deities. So Surya Devata is there, Varuna Devata is there, Indra Devata is there, to the devatas. And tamasic people are worshipping Preet and Pisach, you know. Okay, so more common example that you'll understand, those who, you know, voodoo dolls. In my childhood, we used to hear, there is a doll and they'll prick pins in the stomach so that somebody else's stomach hurts. That is because, you see, they also have faith in that superior power, that this whatever power is that can do bad to others. So that is also faith. It is falling under faith. They have faith. That's why they are poking needles in the stomach of the doll so that somebody else gets a stomachache. That is tamasic Shraddha. Okay? This is how these Shraddha. Now, Bhagwan has started explaining Shraddha because Arjun shifted his attention from knowledge to Shraddha. He says, people have Shraddha. So, what does that fall under? That's why Bhagwan is now explaining Shraddha or faith. Okay? He'll be talking about the next verse only, verse 4 only, he's explaining this part now. Yajante satvika devan yaksharakshausi rajasaha pretan bhutaganash chane yajante tamasajanaha.
The satvika. You missed three, Jayaji. You missed verse 3.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. I just turned the page. Thank you for reminding me. Sattvanurupa sarvasya shraddha bhavati bharata shraddha mayoyam purushah yo yashchadrasa evasah. The faith of each is in accordance with his nature. Swabhavaja. O Bharata, the man consists of his faith. As a man's faith is, so is he. Like we say, as your mind, so will you be. So here also Bharata, we start with the word Bharata, a name for Arjun. Bha, light, Rata, revels in light. We have seen this meaning before. So Arjun, understand, you are an intelligent person. You are sattvic. Sattva anurupa sarvasya shraddha. That is the break of that first word. Sattva anurupa. Anurupa means like. Like sattva. Now, here this word sattva is important. Sattva here does not mean sattva guna. It means the mind. The mind has got two names. Actually, it has got two functions. Our mind. Okay. One function is it is an instrument of knowledge, isn't it? I'm sitting in, I know that, you know, this computer is there. I know so many people are attending. So many are there. These many are not there. So mind, one aspect of the mind, it is an instrument of knowledge. Excuse me. The other aspect of the mind is emotions. It experiences, it is the experiencer of emotions. These are the two functions of the mind. Clear? Straight, I can just straight, you know, I walk, okay, there is the, that is that road, that is a straight instrument. When it is used only as an instrument without any kind of, you know, oh, I'm happy seeing this thing or that thing, it is known as sattva. And when it is used as an experiencer, when it is experiencing joy and sorrow or any other kind of emotion, it is called as chitta. And chitta is the word that we have always used for mana, but sattva also. So sattva and chitta, both these words indicate mind. And here it is mind. It is not sattva guna. So what he's saying is sat. Okay, now this sattva word is made out of two syllables, sat and tva. See, sattva, that there is a half ta and a full ta. So there is sat, which is with the half ta, and then there is ta. Sat and tva, tva, sattva, va is there, full va, half ta, and then half this thing. You get it? The break? Sat here represents the reality, pure consciousness. Sat, when you say it is sat, it is pure consciousness. This tva is the bhavavachik nama. It is a noun, means it is the objective world which the mind is used as an instrument to know, not to feel. You just know certain things you just know. Today it is raining. Today, if you just remain at that level of knowledge without getting involved with that, oh, today is raining. Why is it raining? Now I have to go out. Now I'm going to get wet and getting all upset. That, so as long as you remain only in the field of knowledge, where the mind is only gaining knowledge, it is an instrument of knowledge, it is gaining knowledge of whatever weather is outside, it is sattva. And when it starts emoting, it becomes chitta. It's called as chitta. So sattva anurupa sarvasya shraddha means, as per the mind, which I already told you in the previous one, as per the mind is the shraddha. So if the mind is sattvic, shraddha will be sattvic. If the mind is rajasic, shraddha will be rajasic. And if the mind is tamasic, shraddha will be tamasic. Okay? Bhavati bharata. Bhavati becomes. So this shraddha depends on the mind, antakarana. And the mind, we bring it because of our past actions. That type of a mind, we bring it at birth. Therefore, swabhavaja. Now, ayam purushaha shraddhamayaha. Shraddhamayaha, we should understand. We have seen the koshas, na? Annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya. Maya is pervading. Annamaya means this sheath, kosha. This kosha is pervaded by anna, food. It is the food sheath. Then pranamaya, it's pervaded by the pranas. So this shraddhamaya means pervaded by shraddha. So I am purusha, purusha is three also. So all people are enveloped by this faith, by shraddha, which is dependent on the type of mind, which mind I bring from my previous birth. So I shraddha mayo yam purushaha yo. Yachrat sa eva saha. As his shraddha, as his faith, that faith will manifest in that way. That's why in the previous verse and next verse he will talk. If my shraddha is sattvic, I will pray directly to the gods. If my shraddha is rajasic, I will pray to the demigods. If my Shraddha is tamasic, I will pray to the lower God, Preth and Bhuta and all those kinds of things. Okay, that's why. And this Shraddha, therefore, has to be of these five kinds, which I already explained to you, because Shraddha word is going to come everywhere. So I've already explained to you Shraddha. Clear? Here, Sattva, don't take it as Guna. Okay? All right. Now, I read the verse, fourth verse. The Sattvic or pure men worship the gods, the Rajasic or the passionate, the Yakshas and the Rakshasas. The others, the Tamasic people or the dark folk, worship the ghosts and the hosts of Bhutas or the nature spirits. In my notes, our Acharya told us that there are some people who like eat like parts of dead bodies and all those kinds of things. That is part of Aghora Vidya. It is called Aghora Vidya. It's very, very terrible, very terrible. But nevertheless, they have faith in that Vidya. Na? That's why they're doing it. They're doing it to hurt somebody else. But the faith is there that this is what if I do, somebody else, my enemy is going to get hurt. So this is where, which I've already told you. So the Sattvic people will always, yeah, when I was reading, see, this is what I thought. I told you, some of you must remember, I told you there is our prayer, Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. And I told you that when you say Sarve, you must include the entire globe, entire universe. That is a Sattvic Shraddha. That when I say the person with Sattvic Shraddha will do this. This thought will come. Sarve has, it's everybody. The Rajasic person will say me and my family. Sarve is me and my family. So he's narrowed it down. And Tamasic person is not going to say this prayer only. Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, why? Only I should be, everybody else should not be. No, doesn't, I don't care. This is what this is. Sattvic Shraddha, Rajasic Shraddha, and Tamasic Shraddha. Okay, this is this one. These are the, it's like 16. There is no like hidden meanings and nothing like that. Okay, now. Ashastra vihitam ghoram tapyante ye tapo janaha dambha hankara sanyuktaha kamaraga balanvitaha. Those men who practice terrific austerities, not enjoined by the scriptures, given to hypocrisy and egoism, impelled by the force of lust and attachment. This is like halfway, so I'm going to read the next one as well. Karshayanta sharirastham bhuta gramam achetasaha mam chaivanta sharirastham tan vidyasura nishchayan. Senselessly torturing all the elements in the body and me also who dwells within the body, know thou these to be of demonic resolve. So this two are describing the tamasic type of Shraddha, tamasic type of people, those people who have a tamasic mind. What they do is they are driven by dambha ahankara sanyukta, a combination of hypocrisy and ego, strong ego. Okay. And kama raga balanvitaha, the balanvita is the strength. The strength in their austerities is coming from kama desire, raga attachment. See, desire gives great power. Let me tell you, when the person, that's why we fall, na? Temptation. That's why we fall. Actually, Guruji also gave a good example. So they said, he said, oh, I, one person said, you know, I'm fall to temptation so much. So he was told, he said, you know what? It's the devil who tempts. So next time the temptation comes in front of you, it's the devil who is coming. You put the devil behind your back. So don't get tempted. Okay, fine. So he went to bed at night and then in the woke up in the middle of the night. He went, he opened the fridge. There was a whole cake there. Next day morning, mom got up. She opened the fridge. This big cake for the party was gone. She said, what did you do? I told you to put the devil behind the back so that you will not fall to temptation. He said, no, I fell to temptation. Actually, you know what I did? I put the devil behind my back, but then the devil pushed me into the cake. So I had to eat the cake. So, So desire gives strength. Remember that. And if that desire is for God, it's great. That's therefore in chapter 7, Bhagwan has said, that desire which is not driven by ego is me, is that strength is me in that desire. Balam balavata masmi, in the strong, I am their strength. But when that strength is diverted to the higher, for a desire for the higher, when the strength is, desire is for the lower, then that is not my strength. That's what Bhagwan says there. So here, what they do is, because they are hypocrites, they have great ego and great desire. Ashastra-vihitam ghoram tapyate. Ashastra-vihitam means that which is not enjoined by the scriptures, they do. Extreme torture of the body. That's why Vedanta never recommends extremes. Vedanta always says moderation in everything. Not extreme. Don't indulge. That is also not allowed. But going the other way to such an extent where you're actually torturing the body, that should not be done. Karsha yanta sharirastha bhuta gramam chetasa. So all the elements, because the body is made out of 5 elements, now you are torturing the body. You know, not drinking like water, not eating food for a long, long time. I actually thought of that diet where, you know, 16 hours fasting. I could never do that. I would get a headache. But anyway, so these people, they do this. And then Bhagwan is saying, they are also torturing me. Why? Because I am in the body. So by torturing the body in which the Bhagwan is there, it's because that's why the body is called as a temple of Bhagwan. That's why this body has to be taken care of. That is the attitude with which the body has to be taken care of. Not that somebody else will think how young I look and somebody else will think how beautiful I am. That should not be the attitude. I want to keep my body healthy because it is a temple of God. God rests in that body. So I want to keep that temple, you know, nice and clean and everything. The other thing is, this is the body. This is the only way. The body alone can take me to the higher. Because without the body, I cannot do the austerities which are prescribed by the Shastras. So I need a healthy body. See, people can't say it. This, I've given you an example. Everybody, you know, there was somebody who said, oh, after retirement, I'll do this. Before retirement, only arthritis, blood pressure, you name it, Parkinson's. All kinds of things happened, right? And nothing. Neither could she travel. She was telling me, I thought I'll travel after I retire and then I'll attend yajnas and then I'll... So she said to me, she said, it's lucky that at young age only you have started all this. Because I was at a yajna waiting for Swamiji. So the body, there is no... Therefore, the body has to be taken care of. And also do not postpone your studies. Don't postpone it. Okay, so this is what he's saying is these are asuras. Asuras are, we saw in 16, those with greater rajasic and tamasic tendencies. This dambha and ahankara and desire is coming out of rajas. Hypocrisy comes out of rajas. Ahankara also, strong ego. And then kama and attachment. So there is desire. So there is attachment to the result because the desire is so strong that the result also is very intense. They intensely desired. The result is intensely desired. All that is coming from rajas. And then the tamasic part of it is they're torturing their body for that. And when they torture the body, they're torturing the elements. Means because why? Because the body is made out of 5 elements. So by torturing the 5 elements, he says, they're torturing me as well because I am the one that is staying in the body. Jiva Brahma Aikya, we saw in chapter 13. This is that this Kshetranya is only one. The knower of the body is only, knower of the field is only one. So that is the meaning here. Now from 7 onwards, he is going to go into ahara, food. So are there any questions so far? Yes. Yes,
How is it that, you know, Bhagwan here refers to the Supreme Self that is untouched, right? So how can one torture?
No, but when he refers to I'm staying in the body, he's referring to the Jiva. Because he's saying Dehi Namna, inside the Deha. inside the Deha, he's saying, see, me also who dwells within the body. So the Supreme Self by itself is not dwelling inside the body because it's limited by the conditionings of the body. It becomes Jiva. So you're torturing me also that way. This is what is meant. Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, I have a question. So you said that this is coming from the Shraddha, is coming from the previous births. So you mean it's from the vasanas that we bring from previous births? Okay. And, and one more question. You just talked about torturing the body by fasting. So I was thinking about all the saints and rishis. They used to fast for a long, long time. You have just eat one meal a day. But that's not considered as torture for the body and for the...
They're realized masters, right? They are already outside of the body. Okay. They're beyond the body.
Okay.
Right. And here what when he says extreme austerities, you know, it's like people stand under the sun and all four sides fire. People stand on one leg for days to come. People only stand. They will never sit or rest. So the body has to be treated with moderation. That's why we always say don't pamper the body. But don't pamper the body also. Tamper with the body also. Any kind of Vedanta doesn't condone any extremes. Moderation is the key. That is what he said. Those who are Asura Nisha of demonic resolves. So they have a lot of rajas and tamas. Sattva is very low. Because sattva can never go to zero. None of them can go to zero. Sattva is there, but very little. And rajas and tamas is overpowering that. So there's a lot of hypocrisy. There's a lot of ego and egocentric desires, like Gurudev would say. And those egocentric desires are driving this. Like, I will do anything. See, even the this when we say bhoot and preet, and they do a lot of tapasya too. Right? Ravana also did a lot of tapas. Ravana, who held that Kailash mountain on his hand, did he not? Rajas, right? He wanted something. Wasn't sattvic. Sattvic tapas is when you want the good of the entire people. Ravana, only for him he wanted the power. He wanted to defeat all the gods. He wanted to, you know, he wanted power. So that way, that sort of thing Bhagwan is saying, that that type of extreme, avoid those type of extremes.
Okay, thank you.
Jayaji, I had a question. So like Padmaja just said that, you know, we come with these vasanas and, you know, like they direct us. And like you mentioned earlier, like the faith depends on your sattva, rajas and tamas. Now, can we change that?
Yeah, definitely. How because sattva,
how do we go about, like, say, if somebody has come with extreme rajas, then I guess we have to go towards like studying and applying.
Correct. So the first step in changing ourselves is recognition. So recognize what is predominant within you. Because unless you recognize, it's like even the addicts. Oh, I'm not addicted to smoke. Right? That's what the addicts always say. Addiction, they always say, no, I'm not, I can give up smoking at any time. I've given it. Gurudev had a joke. He said, one person, he said, Swamiji, I can give up. I've given up many times. I've given up smoking. And he was sitting and smoking. And he said, many, many, giving up is very easy, he said. But he's smoking. So first is recognize. So if you think that you are tamasic, and I've told you this before, tamas, you cannot go straight to sattva. So come into rajas. And from rajas, you come into sattva. Because these gunas can be changed. That's why at birth, everybody is a shudra only, like Gurudev says. Nobody knows what is going on. As the child grows, then he develops his own qualities. As an adult, we know that I'm very rajasic. I always have to have a to-do list. I cannot sit quietly even for 2 minutes. Then that's why we say, we recommend every day sit quietly for 5 minutes without any, even if you're not meditating, just try and sit quietly for 5 minutes. And then read. Reading is very important. some sort of reading every day must be done, must be done. You know, just one verse or whatever, whatever reading, chanting, all those things, because knowledge is sattva. So as you read, as you, you know, that way you change slowly, slowly. Food. Now, see, we'll be talking about food. Okay, good, good question you are. Now, next from 7 onwards, I'll start next time. 7 onwards, Bhagwan is talking about food. Now, what you can do is you can change the type of food you eat, your mind will change. Because food is going into the mind as well. And they feed off of each other. I've seen that in my own case. Like, as my food became more sattvic, my mind became sattvic. And then my mind always started making choices of sattvic food. So then the mind comes on track and the mind only says, no, 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 I don't want to eat that. I don't want to eat that. That's too deep fried. That's too this. That's too that. I don't want to eat. I'd rather eat a salad. I'd rather eat some fruit. I'd rather take some fruit juice instead of Coke. So the first you force. Gross is easy. So when there is somebody is offering you, say, a soft drink or water or a fruit juice, I've stuck with water only, nothing else. So you go for the fruit juice instead of the soft drink. Then what happens is your mind only will tell you, no, don't drink the soft drink, carbonated drink, sugar, it's too much sugar, drink water or drink juice. This is how you work on your mind. Because body is tamas, body will always remain tamasic. Don't worry about the body. It is the mind that you have to be worried about. So now he will explain the foods, which foods are sattvic, which are rajasic, and which are tamasic. And the reason that they are sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic is because they are making your mind sattvic. They will make your mind rajasic. They will make your mind tamasic. Most of us Swamijis do not eat garlic and onion for this reason. Garlic creates tamas in the mind and onion creates rajas in the mind. Right away, I'm telling you. So eat. But I know some of my friends, because garlic is medicinal, everything they will add garlic. That should not be done. If the recipe calls for garlic, I also eat garlic. Huh? Not that I don't eat. But only if it's not that just, oh, it's medicinal. You know, it's good for cholesterol. So people are taking garlic pill, garlic, even in tea, they will put garlic if they can. That is not recommended. That is not recommended. In that recipe requires garlic. Okay, theek hai na? You eat na? Nobody is saying no. Or in every single thing, you start adding onion. That is how you change the mindset. Okay? We'll talk about ahar next time. That's why I said we can relate, because the foods that he gives, we can see that in our life. And you will know that. My niece, she will eat lime like you eat orange. Ayayo, Rajas. I even like look and she like, you know, how we eat mango, she will eat that lemon like that. How people can do that? My own niece is there. So that way. Okay. So we'll meet next time. Thank you all for coming. This is our first class and we will be completing this chapter pretty quick. And I was thinking, I think this year only we'll be starting chapter 18, and fingers crossed, maybe we'll complete it by next year. ॐ स्वस्ति प्रजाभ्यः परिपालयन्तां न्यायेन मार्गेण महिं महिषाः गोब्राह्मणेभ्यः शुभमस्तु नित्यं लोकाः समस्ताः सुखिनो भवन्तु काले वर्षतु पर्जन्यः पृथिवी सस्य शालिनी देशो यं क्षोभरहिता ब्राह्मणाः सन्तु निर्भयाः ॐ सर्वेषां स्वस्ति भवतु सर्वेषां शान्तिर्भवतु सर्वेषां पूर्णं भवतु सर्वेषां मङ्गलं भवतु सर्वे भवन्तु सुखिनः सर्वे सन्तु निरामयाः सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत् ॐ असतो मा सद्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मा अमृतं गमय ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्छते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेव अवशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ before I go, I just wanted to let everybody know that I think this class is now, they're putting on WhatsApp. So I think in the email, they've sent some instructions. So if you can join that WhatsApp group, but